Okay, let's take 222, please.
Human Rights Commission 2012-2013 Annual Report.
Director James is here and team to talk about the work of this amazing group. Good morning. Welcome. Who's
Mr.
on
Mayor,
first?
Esteemed members of council, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the work of the City of Portland Human Rights Commission. My name is Kyle Bussey, and I chaired the commission from October 2012 until January of 2014. The written materials that I've provided are intended to report on the activities of the Human Rights Commission during my tenure as chair. As you know, the commission exists within the Office of Equity and Human Rights, which is directed by Dante James. And before I get started, I wanted to let Dante say a few words about the work of the commission from his perspective as Bureau Director. So, Dante?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Council, good morning. I'm certainly pleased to be able to do the introduction to this report for the Human Rights Commission. As you know, they sit under the umbrella of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And I think you will be hopefully pleasantly surprised by what you see has been their activities under the leadership of Kyle, who I think has done an excellent job in some sense, challenging the commission to do better, be more visible in the community, be more engaged with the community, and be more of a spokesperson, spokesentity, if you will, for human rights in the city. As a volunteer commission, they put in a lot of work and a lot of hours. And it's not always appreciated or even recognized the amount of time that they do put into that. And certainly as a watchdog, sometimes that includes or requires you to critique those who are your friends. And so hopefully the appreciation of council and other members on that good work that sometimes speaks to issues that are important that may sometimes take a countervailing view than others is an important aspect of what they do. And so I know I challenged them, my office challenged them to be more visible and be that spokesperson for human rights in the city and speak for and on behalf of the communities that are in need of being spoken for sometimes because they don't have the visibility or the bandwidth to come and speak on behalf of themselves. And so I truly think they have done that this year, and I know in the leadership of the new president, Sanji, who is not able to be here, they will continue to do that good work. And so I just ask you to accept this report, and we will all continue to challenge them to be that good voice as they continue to do what they do. So unless you have any questions of me, I will turn it back over to Kyle and the good works of the commission.
Thank you, Dante.
Thank you.
So I'm proud to have the chance today to reintroduce you to your Human Rights Commission. And in doing so, given that this is a volunteer commission, I think it's important to recognize the service of our volunteers. So I'd like to just name, for the record, our current Human Rights Commission. Sanji Young is our chair, who was elected chair in January of 2014 to succeed me. Linda McKim-Bell, who's sitting to my right, is our new vice chair. She's been fantastic, and I'll introduce you to her in just a moment. Myra Ariola, Diallo Bennett, myself, Kyle Bussey, Malloy Good, Ashley Horn, Alan Lazo, Abdul Majidi, Emmanuel Price, Sam Sachs, Amy Samara, Damon Isaiah Turner, and hopefully soon to be a human rights commissioner, the Reverend Kate Lohr from the First Unitarian Church. And we're excited to have Kate Lohr on board as soon as we're able to do that. So I believe the commission has done some great work over the past year and has also taken major steps towards setting up a framework for the commission to continue functioning at a high level as new commissioners are appointed to replace us in the future. When the Human Rights Commission was conceptualized and created in 2008, the policymakers responsible for the commission's existence seemed to have an ambitious goal in mind: to improve the lives of all Portlanders by making respect for the human and civil rights of Portlanders a meaningful part of the way the city of Portland does business. The creation of the HRC was preceded by the acknowledgement that at that time, quote, we have no human rights entity that holds us accountable for fulfilling our commitments under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, end quote. That's from the Findings and Recommendations Report of 2007, which this council accepted in 2008. The HRC was created in the wake of that sentiment, and a framework was suggested that focused on education, research, advocacy, and intervention. 4 years later, in 2012, the commission was in a bit of a state of flux. The Office of Human Relations was being dissolved, and the HRC was unsure where we were going to land. We used that uncertainty as an opportunity to revisit our founding principles, and we concluded that we needed to make internal changes that aligned us with the framework suggested by those who created our commission in the first place. To that end, we created the Community Discovery Committee to focus on education, research, and outreach, the Policy Committee to focus on advocacy, and the Communications Committee to focus on education and outreach, all new committees that we've created and have been working on ever since. These committees are designed to focus on our core principles rather than on specific projects. In this way, we created an operating system that will function consistently into the future, no matter the issue that presents itself. At the same time, we were able to maintain issue-oriented task forces to address specific community needs, as well as maintaining the important Community and Police Relations Committee, which was created concurrently with the HRC back in 2008. This is important because for the first time since its inception, the Human Rights Commission reached back to its core principles and created a long-term plan for staying focused on the mission for which it was created. I hope the resulting framework will allow for consistent, focused, and effective human rights advocacy into the foreseeable future. In addition to our organizational restructuring, we also implemented new procedures for responding to emerging issues and community requests that will allow us to streamline and prioritize commission responses based on the timing and urgency of those responses. We have also updated and improved our human rights impact analysis, which is a tool that we use to assess human rights impacts of policies and actions affecting Portlanders. Finally, we overhauled our bylaws so that we would bring them up to date with the changes that I've mentioned and also with the fact that we were no longer in the Office of Human Relations. We're now housed in the OEHR, Office of Equity and Human Rights. As you can see, my tenure as chair has been very process heavy. It hasn't made for the most exciting Human Rights Commission meetings, and we'll have to do something about getting people back to our meetings so that they understand that they can be more exciting and more topical. But I think that we were topical as well. And given that we're a volunteer commission that meets as a voting body just once a month, I would submit that these sometimes tedious efforts represent real progress in ensuring that we maintain a meaningful human rights entity into the future. Leaving process behind, I'd just like to touch on a few of the accomplishments of the commission. 2012 and 2013 saw the introduction of two events that we hope will become hallmarks of both the HRC and the City of Portland. The first, which was introduced in December 2012 in celebration of International Human Rights Day, is the Emily G. Gottfried Human Rights Awards. The awards have now been celebrated twice in honor of outstanding human rights achievement in the categories of emerging leader, outstanding organization, and lifetime achievement. As you may know, these awards were conceptualized by the late Emily G. Gottfried, an HRC commissioner and human rights champion who we tragically lost in January of 2013. The awards were renamed in her honor this year, and the HRC will continue to shine a light on human rights achievement through this annual award celebration. For those of you who were able to make it to the awards this year, I thank you, and I think you'll agree that Emily was on to something powerful. We hope to see you all there again next December. In June 2013, the HRC hosted the first Human Rights Roundtable, which gathered human rights advocacy groups together for the first time to share their experiences and thoughts on human rights issues in Portland. More than 40 advocacy groups were represented at the roundtable, and the HRC was able to collect meaningful data on the community's perceptions about how our city addresses human and civil rights. Along with practical input about how we might address perceived areas of improvement from those groups. As you can see from the materials, community feedback was overwhelmingly positive, with 97% of participants reporting that the roundtable objectives were relevant to their work, 97% reporting that they would like to collaborate with the HRC in the future, and more than 8 out of 10 reporting that they met leaders at the roundtable who could benefit their work. The HRC published a 32-page report and a much shorter summary of the Commission's findings arising out of the roundtable, both of which can be found on the HRC webpage. To my knowledge, these opinions have never been collected before in a central location, and I would encourage council members to review them. Although they are many and far-reaching, it's a unique measure by which to gauge community sentiment about how our city is treating its citizens. Finally, the Community and Police Relations Committee deserves a special mention for its efforts to create dialogue between the community and its police officers. In April 2013, the CPRC was awarded the Portland Police Bureau Achievement Medal for helping to coordinate and facilitate training for all PPB command staff on issues including institutional racism and community demographics. The CPRC extended the training to all PPB sergeants in November of 2013. These are among the many accomplishments of this important committee of the HRC, which continues to work on building bridges between the community and our police bureau. As noted in the materials, these major projects are just a fraction of the work taken on by our commission. In addition to these events, the HRC and its committees and task forces have committed substantial time to issues such as human trafficking, housing rights, the rights of Portland's homeless, immigrant rights, and police accountability. We expect to continue our meaningful work on these projects and additional human rights issues as they inevitably emerge. Given the effort we've made to lay the groundwork for effective human rights advocacy, I am optimistic that the Commission's future is a bright one. And we hope that you will be a part of that future, because as a volunteer commission full of people with busy lives and busy jobs, we can use all the help we can get. I am not here to ask for more money or additional resources for the commission. But it should be noted that we are attempting to carry out a mandate that was conceptualized by the Findings and Recommendations Report of 2007, which suggested that to accomplish its mission, the commission should be staffed by a full-time director, as well as a full-time administrative assistant, communications and outreach specialist, and researcher. We are currently given access to the part-time services of a single employee, who we appreciate immensely. I understand the limitations of the city's budget, so rather than asking for additional resources, I'm asking for your help in accomplishing the ambitious mandate given to our volunteer commission. Whenever you can help by getting involved in commission activities, interfacing on human rights issues affecting Portlanders, dispatching your advisors to our aid, or just coming to a meeting, that will go a long way toward demonstrating the city's commitment to doing just what it set out to do back in 2008, making respect for our human and civil rights a meaningful part of the way the city of Portland does business. At this point, I'd like to introduce you to our HRC Vice Chair, Linda McKim Bell, who has been elected for the 2013-2014 term. Linda's level of passion and dedication for this work is really remarkable, and she has been a great ambassador for the commission by attending countless events around the city. You've probably seen her at many of them. And she's really getting the word that we're out there. And we are so lucky to have Linda on board. And so, Linda, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Kyle. I'm Linda McKim Bell, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Human Rights Commission, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you today and for the honor of serving as Vice Chair of your Human Rights Commission. And I just wanted to take a moment to give you a preview of what's coming up in 2014, which should be an exciting year at HRC. In the next few months, HRC will be continuing our advocacy for the rights of our houseless population, and we hope to facilitate a discussion among stakeholders on that issue, including our bureau partners, city leaders, and advocacy groups. The Human Trafficking Task Force will continue its outreach and education efforts for trafficking survivors, and we will be hosting our second annual Human Rights Roundtable this year. Long-term projects for 2014 are inspired in part by the findings from last year's Human Rights Roundtable and include an increased community presence by holding HRC meetings throughout the city, an up-to-date human rights community events calendar, and a continued focus on community and police relations. Our members have attended over 80 human rights-related events around the city to connect with and listen to the public, and we'll continue to be as active in 2014. We'll also continue our yearly tradition of celebrating human rights achievements at the Emily G. Gottfried Human Rights Award Awards in December, and we welcome your presence at this event. We look forward to keeping you up to date on HRC programs and encourage your participation whenever possible. We also extend an open invitation to all council members who are able to join us at our commission meetings, which take place on the first Wednesday of every month from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Linda.
Questions for Kyle or Linda? Thank you very much.
I have a couple. And Kyle, when does your term end?
My term ended January of 2014.
As chair.
Oh, yes. And, my term as HRC commissioner, I believe, ends...
I'm sorry, I meant your chair. So you were as of January of 14?
Right, I'm no longer chair.
I just want to compliment you for your service as the chair. You were the first chair during my service on the council who asked for standing meetings or regular meetings with commissioners to update them on the work of the council. And I really appreciate that greatly. You built bridges of understanding, and you kept us in the loop, and I hope that's the standard that other chairs follow as they... Second, I don't think people fully appreciate that you are also a partner in one of the leading civil rights law firms in the city, and you are balancing this assignment with your day job, and so we're appreciative of the fact that you do that. Third, I want to just ask you about housing, because there's two issues on the housing on the horizon, which I don't know whether they're in your list, but I wanted just to pitch them as ideas. The first is that the City Club is doing a study on homelessness and the city-county systems and funding, and I hope that you'll weigh in on that and seek to be part of, make sure that you're interviewed and have a voice as they work through their report. And the second is that Speaker Kotek, I don't know whether she's done this formally or informally, has asked Representative Reardon from East County to chair a work group on what's called inclusionary housing. Now, most cities in the country have something like inclusionary housing, inclusionary zoning. And during periods of time that we're experiencing now where there's a bull market on permits and buildings, it helps address the gentrification displacement components because it requires developers to put affordable units in each development. We're one of the few cities and states in the country that preempts local jurisdictions of doing that. Interestingly, the current head of HUD, the secretary of HUD, helped to pioneer this model in New York City, where it was used to some effect. Representative Reardon will be looking at bringing potentially something forward in the next biennium, and we know from Speaker Kotek's work on Section 8 reform that she does it in a very collaborative and thoughtful way. So I would urge the Human Rights Commission to weigh in on that, possibly even have someone serve on the committee so that your voice can help move that process along. But mostly I want to just say you have been a remarkable leader for this organization, and I thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
Other questions or comments for these volunteers? Thank you very much. Appreciate your report. We'll see if anyone else wants to testify, and we'll take action. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone signed up?
Yes, we have four people signed up. First three, please, coming up. Joe Walsh, Kathy Bushman, and Angela Hammett.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. It is very difficult for us to criticize volunteers. So I have a suggestion. Why don't we take the Human Rights Commission and pay them? I want people to come before the council that are making some money, so when we yell at them, we have some reason. When I ran for Congress, one of the biggest problems that I had was with volunteers. You can't yell at a volunteer. They will not come back. They will tell you to go away, sir. So it is very difficult for us to sit here and criticize the Human Rights Commission because it's basically made up of volunteers. And I think I heard this morning, correct me if I'm wrong, a plea to have some money. We have money in this city. We have $2.4 million that Commissioner Salzman's going to talk to you about today to build an office building. So we have money. It's the priorities that we set. And this Human Rights Commission needs to get out into the environment. We have people that are on the streets that need some human rights. They talk about people being on the streets, but they are volunteers. They go to a meeting once a month, and they throw around concepts. They need to go. I have been on the streets now for 3 years working with the homeless. I'm not homeless, but I work with them. I volunteer to work with them. No human rights commissioner ever came up to me and said, hey, Joe, what do you need? Now, I've been here with you guys, and I know every one of you. And I know your staffs because I'm here. But I'm also in the streets, and I don't know one person on the Human Rights Commission because they've never approached us. And I just asked a friend of mine who's a veteran for peace, have they ever approached you? And he said, no. So what are we doing, folks? We're sitting around saying, you're doing a great job. No, we're not. We are failing. A person that is on the street that wants to get off needs human rights. And there's a thing going on right now called the Bill of Human Rights, and the Human Rights Commission ought to shove it in your face and say, damn it, we need some help. Thank you.
Morning.
Hi, my name is Angela Hammett, and I just wanted to thank the Human Rights Commission for their volunteerism. I also have questions about why I've been homeless for going on 2 years now, and I've never seen any volunteers come out and talk to homeless people whose rights are being violated every single day. And it's the police officers that I see doing that instigating. They instigate. They do not de-escalate. They instigate. They encourage. They try to provoke the homeless people to get angry with them so they can violate their rights, you know, with a cause. I would encourage the volunteers to go out into the streets and to talk to the homeless people. They don't even know they have any rights. Being homeless is the most traumatizing experience I've ever had in my life, and I've been through some traumas. But this one, I don't even know what to say. I would encourage you all to participate in their meetings, to do your civil duty in finding out what is actually happening on the streets to people's rights every single day. Thank you.
Thanks. Morning.
Good morning. I voted for you.
Good. Just give us your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Beverly Joanne Palote, and I'm a citizen of this state, and I care about Portland, Oregon, because I live here. But we're having a lot of problems with the homeless. I'm a missionary Catholic, a sister of St. Andre Bessette, a Roman Catholic church. I'm a Roman Catholic. And I served for 7 years as a volunteer, 2 hours a morning, helping the homeless, going, reaching out to care centers, people there, praying, teaching, counseling, and a whole various of things, and trying to supply their needs and tell them where they can go and get help. But we really need to help the homeless more here in this city. It's really profound and well needed. We need housing. We got all of these buildings just vacant, whereas you can open them up and just put shelters or housing or activity centers in there and get them off the streets. My church says they'd be happy to come and volunteer. All you have to do is ask. We have plenty of them. And what we don't have, other churches will join in and help and get these poor people off the streets and get them some kind of a life or activity shop going where they won't have to be homeless anymore out there. It's just like caged animals ready to attack. You know what I mean? They don't have no source. They don't have no hope. And they just very, very upset and unhappy. And they really need our help to get them back on track. And what I'm asking today for you to do, give them more help. Open these places up. Get volunteers to come in and just get them housing where they won't have to be on the streets and getting into trouble every day. We can nip this in the bud if we try. It's not that hard. But we need to all pitch in and do this. And it doesn't take much. And God would bless us more. And that's all I have to say. Yeah,
thank you for what you're doing. Hopefully we can get more churches to step up like you and your church.
Well, anytime you need our help, just let us know.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Is there a Kathy Bushman or Michelle Munt?
Hard act to follow. Okay, Kathy, thank you. Anyone else? Come on up. Come on.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for listening to us and having such an open discourse all the time in here.
Just give us your name for the record.
Oh, my name is Michelle Munt, and I may not be on track, but it will be short. The behavior of the police and doing their sweeps, I witnessed 4 days ago, and I witnessed abuse, physical abuse, and I witnessed blood on people 5 times in the last 8 months without looking for it, really. That's a reference. I'm probably not tying it together, but you are open, and I don't expect anyone to do too much about it, but we're being open, so let's keep that up. Human rights, yes, violated on a daily basis, mainly by the police, but they're working in collusion with all the other armed enforcements, militarizations. That's fine. Your own union, it's not open right now, I guess. An AAUP, the word I wanted to say for all your purposes and all your topics, it's shared governance, and the college is trying to do shared governance, and we're not doing shared governance, and all the issues here is a superficial analysis of things. I don't want to be critical, so I will stop, but shared governance would help. That would be others to have a voice in the actual allocation of the contracts, which you guys bless contracts, and that's fine, but it isn't doing anything for human rights and the people without a blanket and having their stuff stolen from them. My time may be up, but on a daily basis, without looking for it, a random person on the bus told me, the new word for when they, that would be authority, either which of the different armed, militarized, uniformed security forces within Portland, of the about 8 different types of uniforms you have now, is called absorbed when her stuff is stolen from her, including the ID, which is kept, and also others, my eyewitnesses. Their belongings are kept by the jail, laptops and cell phones, and that's a regular thing, plus cutting people's shoelaces on the way out of jail. Purposely letting that out in the middle of the night, and then there's incidents because of that. I know I'm rambling. I'm glad for the openness. I don't expect anyone to do anything in this type of system. You should look to Seattle, like Ashama Savant, and think about some real issues. I'm trying to, not to be critical, but at least you're open and you're letting the other people say the real issues without addressing it from the city side, because you're not in control of your police department. It's a separate thing. It's not even within your city. You have no idea even what they're doing. You have no clue what they're doing, even with their money. So that's critical, and I wasn't going to do that. So I'm sorry, and thank you for having let me talk at all.
Well, thanks for being here. I hope while you're in the building, you can stop into the Independent Police Review Office and let them know about any incident you saw that was
there's too many for me to track, and the other people are getting physically abused so far worse than the parts that I would be able to eyewitness replay. You aren't listening to it. It's already known. It's been said a million times. Yeah. I have about 10 incidents that I have them documented at home. But I just won't submit it because I don't expect any, in this type of a venue, I don't expect it to, you're not in control of your police, so I don't see what it would do to tell you.
Well, really. That's what the IPR system's for.
They're out of control. They're out of control right across the street from you. I mean, out of control.
Thanks.
Sorry. I love everyone. Everyone is great. Even those police, I'm going to love them.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'd like to thank Michelle for her remarks and also kind of connect to an issue that Commissioner Fish raised earlier. He talked about better integration and connection between departments so that programs that the city has got going on are able to improve their quality by communicating back and forth about what works and what doesn't. And I think that you've mentioned just now, Mayor, the IPR, and I think that we should probably do a better job of all of us of sharing the information with our fellow citizens about their human rights. If the citizens of the city were to take a walk right now from the MAX station that's called Skidmore, they'd probably see that just out of the blue, the city has decided to close access from the MAX station to NATO Parkway. We don't really know what the premise is. We've closed some public access. We don't know if the proper procedures have been followed. We do know that a person was injured down there, but the people who are most frequently down there know that the reason this is happening is to push them into a darker corner, not to make them safer or better served, but just to push them out of the lights that shine from the University of Oregon's White Stag building. And that's really actually someplace where the, even though I've enjoyed going to the Human Rights Commission. I know that they are volunteers doing their work. That's really someplace they need to walk right now is under the Burnside Bridge on the west side and see where the city has illegally probably closed the sidewalk next to the White Stag building because our out-of-control police cannot help the neediest citizens get properly connected with services. So I'd like to thank the Human Rights Commission, whether they go down there or not, for the time that they invest in helping the city be a great place to live. I'm glad to live here, and I know that we do put some energy into fixing our issues, but we sometimes get a little off track, so it's great to have volunteers like the members of the Human Rights Commission and the Office of Equity and Human Rights working on trying to keep us on track to be a great city. Thanks, y'all.
Okay. Anyone else?
It's all signed up.
Okay. Further discussion so that we need to take a motion on the report.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Fritz?
Thank you very much for super volunteers above and beyond the call of duty and indeed the call of being willing to serve on the Human Rights Commission. Kyle Bussey, thank you so much for your leadership. You have, as you said, dedicated a lot of time to process, and I think that setting those the process up correctly is a necessary foundation for the good work which the commission will do from now on. So thank you very much for doing that. And then, Linda, thank you for being here this morning. And I know that you are passionate about outreach and letting more people know about the Human Rights Commission and what the work that you do. And I think that that's the next step, is that now that you have a good foundation and a great commission, thank you for reading the names, Kyle, of the people who are currently serving. The next step is to involve more of the community. And it's wonderful to see in your report photographs of some of my friends who live outside and who advocate for people living outside. And so I know that you are very aware of that as perhaps one of the most pressing of our human rights issues in Portland, along with human trafficking, which that committee is also doing good work in shining the light on the tragedies that are happening on our streets. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for this report, for presenting it, and thanks to Dante James and the Office of Equity and Human Rights for providing the staff support. I do commit my bureaus to assisting you in whatever you need as far as information or outreach. However we can help, we'll be very glad to partner with you. And I'm looking forward to attending again the Emily Gottfried Human Rights Awards. Truly a good active way to commemorate one of our early human rights commissioners who is still part of the heart and soul of this community. Aye.
Fish.
Kyle, again, thank you for outstanding service. And thank you also, Linda, for joining us today in your testimony. the Emily Gottfried Luncheon is one of the most uplifting community events we now have on our calendar, and it's a two-box of Kleenex event when the Gottfried Award is given and the history is told, so thank you for that. Inclusionary housing, homelessness, let me throw in pay equity. The city, we hope, is going to embark on a pay equity analysis as part of looking at class comp, and that, I think, fits within your wheelhouse as well, so let me park that issue. And then thank you for your report, and I was proud to support the relaunching of this commission, and it's reports like this that I think vindicate the support that you receive from the community and from this council. So thanks very much. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thanks to the commission. It's a great report, and I want to particularly also single out Kyle. Thank you for your leadership, and particularly through a time of transition as you moved from sort of one entity to another. And I really, time spent on process was probably time well spent, and will give a solid foundation for the commission to pursue the many substantive activities that it's been that you outlined to us in your report. So thank you very much. Please support it. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much for the report and for your work. I just wanted to take note of some of the advocacy enterprises you've been involved in that are noted in the brochure. I mean, I really appreciate your working on issues from advocating in support of the Voice Workers' Rights Education Project 5-year plan for a permanent home, for the sick leave ordinance that we passed last year, for support of House Bill 2639 to end housing discrimination against Section 8 voucher holders. I mean, really appreciate your commitment to working in a variety of ways to advance human rights in the community. Aye.
Hales.
You know, we think this is normal that the city of Portland would foster a citizen organization that's free to criticize anything that we do. We think that's normal here. It's not actually normal in other cities, but we're happy that it's normal here. Actually, there's a long tradition of that, which this commission is part of. I think first about 40 years ago in this room, the then city council made a controversial decision to provide staff support for neighborhood associations. And the mayor at the time didn't like the idea very much and thundered that this was going to be funding the opposition. And yeah, we did. And yes, we do, because you're free to take up the issues that you think matter in terms of human rights and advocate policy, as you've done in the examples that have been mentioned here, like sick leave, and raise the issues in the community that maybe people other than elected officials also need to pay attention to. So we appreciate that. And as you hear, we support it. And it's a big job as a volunteer to take these on. We know you do it out of passion, and we appreciate that. Thank you. Aye. Okay.